Hello and welcome to another episode of Work Now. My name is Mackenzie, and today we have Rachel with us. Rachel has worked with individuals with developmental disabilities for approximately 7 years. Most recently, she was an assistant manager for the Center for Disability Services for a group home with 7 adults. Rachel's currently a full-time MSW student at SUNY Albany. Rachel, are you with us?
I am.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So, Rachel, as we know that your last position was an assistant manager for this group home with 7 adults, can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. When I finished my undergraduate degree in international business and economics, I started a job working in a business doing, in entry-level work, and I was really struggling to find my passion. So after about 2 years of doing that, I decided that I needed a career change, and I decided to go back into the field of social services, which I had found so much passion in working in group homes as an undergrad student. And so I applied for a job working as an assistant manager in a group home and was lucky enough to be offered it and have nothing but fantastic things to say about it. It was one of the most incredible times of my life, and I learned so much from the work setting. So I worked with a manager above me, and then I supervised about 12 to 15 staff, and it was a really incredible experience for me to become a supervisor, but also to be responsible for the 7 adults. And it was really interesting to be working in that setting. People with developmental disabilities can have all types of ranges of problems and things about them that really need to be monitored and to work with. So it was a really great time. And the exciting thing about working in the field of developmental disabilities is the disbarment of institutions, which has been occurring for over 25 years now. Institutions such as the Willowbrook Developmental Center have been closing their doors and moving individuals with developmental disabilities to a group home setting, which is a really exciting thing because it allows individuals with disabilities to have more freedom, have more independence, and really be living their lives rather than just living cooped up in an institution, which is how things used to be.
That's awesome to hear. You know, being a BSW student, it's very rare that I come in contact with people who haven't chosen social work as their first career option. So I think that that's great, absolutely wonderful that you were able to make that change, with having age on your side and being able to do that at a young age. I think that's great that you did something like that. And it sounds like, you know, making that change was the right decision for you and that this is something that you're truly passionate about. And that's really great to hear.
Absolutely.
So, you know, in terms of the Disability Services Center, what was the family involvement like with the adults who stayed there?
Well, that's one of the things that I often found I struggled with. The way things used to be when children were put into institutions such as Willowbrook, and there were numerous throughout the state, families were often told to forget about their child, and families, you know, did not do that and maintained regular visits and regular contact. But a lot of families followed what their doctors recommended, and that was they put their child in care and assumed that it was going to be good care and moved on with their lives. So a lot of our individuals in the group home didn't have families because, unfortunately, I worked with many older adults. I had one individual in my group home who was 25 years old, and then everyone else was 50 to 75 years old. So a lot of them had been in care for a very long time. Yeah, and actually the oldest individual I worked with was 82 years old. And
that's awesome.
So, yeah, he was an incredible man. And so, you know, a lot of them, their families had been told their whole lives to forget that he existed or to forget their family member existed because they would be better off living in this institution and really embracing that concept rather than worrying about the family at home that they weren't able to be with. So we were lucky at our house, actually. We had 3 families that were regularly involved with the individuals in the group home, and one of the families was absolutely incredible because they actually worked for the agency. So they were very involved and really showed me what it should be like, you know, what an ideal system would look like with allowing their son to be put into care because that's really what was best for him, but still maintaining regular involvement and having him at regular family functions and things like that. And for some of our other individuals in the group home, the people that worked there really became family. We had one individual who had worked with the same staff who had been at the house for 22 years and had really begun to view her as more of a mother than a staff person. So those kinds of relationships are always in around or isn't able to be around.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's great to hear that there was family involvement. And, you know, like you said, for clients that you have there that are in their 60s and 70s and 80s, you know, not just adults, but people with developmental disabilities at all was kind of, you know, a taboo subject. No one wanted to talk about it. And it was just kind of one of those things. If you had someone with a developmental disability in your family, you didn't talk about it. It wasn't something that you were open about. And it's unfortunate that a lot of these people ended up in these institutions where they did not receive the care and the help that they needed. And unfortunately, it damaged them psychologically, physically, you know, emotionally for life. And it's hard to see things like that. From a personal standpoint, my sister-in-law's brother is 22 years old. He has severe autism, and putting him into a group home or, you know, making that decision to have him live in a group home is a decision and is a situation that they're dealing with right now. And unfortunately, because of group homes and the agency that it sounds like you worked at, there's great staff and now there's great programs and things like that. And, you know, it makes it a lot more comfortable for parents to have to make these decisions, you know, when these parents are 50 and 60 years old and they're putting their 20 and 30-year-old child in a group home. I can't imagine that would be a decision that would be easy to make. So, you know, it's great to hear that parents are still involved. And you know, like you said, unfortunately for those who don't get so involved, the staff that are there every day, I can imagine that it's easy to form those relationships because, you know, you're pretty much the only human contact and the only, say, loving relationship that these people will receive. So I think that's great.
Absolutely. And to your point about your sister-in-law's brother, I was actually somewhat a part of an experience of the 25-year-old who moved into the group home. I was somewhat a part of that transition. I came in on the tail end of it as he was really developing and adjusting to the group home setting. But it was a really wonderful process for both the parents and the staff. I found at the group home, the staff really helped make sure the parents were comfortable, made sure that they, you know, felt comfortable with everything going on. They knew what was going on. It was a really great transition process, and the agency did it in a way so the individual moving into the group home could become accustomed to what goes on there. So he spent a few overnights, got used to the staff, and got used to having his own room at the group home and all of those kinds of things. So while it is a very scary process, I think, whether your child is moving into a group home, going away to college, moving into their own apartment, whatever it might be, it's scary when your kids move out. And I think that in this particular situation, a lot of agencies have really become aware of those things and are now tailoring their programming and things like that to really meet both the child and the parent's needs.
That's great. And, you know, I think that's also another important factor that people in these situations might forget about is that it's hard for the parents, too. So having a little bit of a support system or being knowledgeable about what the system's like is extremely important for them, too, because they want to feel comfortable where they're sending their child, putting their child in the hands and in the care of other people. I think that's extremely important.
Absolutely.
So, you know, obviously these adults are living in there. So what would you think are some of the biggest challenges for the individuals either living there for a long time or just entering, you know, like you mentioned, making these adjustments? What would some of those challenges be?
You know, I think that there's different challenges for each individual. You know, everyone handles things differently. Everyone adjusts to things differently. But I think one of the biggest challenges for individuals living in group homes is making sure that they are getting what they need. And I don't mean that in the sense of the daily things like, you know, food and being having their daily showers and all of those things. But I mean the extracurricular things that you and I take for granted, you know, being able to grab our car keys or walk to the nearest bus station and go do what we want. In these group homes, that's not always it's not always that easy, especially for folks that are lower functioning and might not be able to do that independently. Being able to express what they want to do and really be able to do it consistently is something that can be a great challenge. And also, due to the way group homes are set up, you're often placed with a roommate. And so you might not get along with your roommate, and that could be an issue. So I think that, you know, really making sure that each person's individuality is able to be expressed and to be embraced, that's something that is a common problem in group homes, but one that the agencies themselves are really, really trying to address and make sure that each person's able to do things they enjoy, they're able to do that consistently, and they're able to express who they are and be who they are on a daily basis.
Absolutely. I definitely think that's one of the most important things, is making sure, you know, especially for the adults who are higher functioning, making sure that they don't feel like they're institutionalized. They don't feel like they're trapped in some, you know, some setting where they don't want to be, that it really does feel like a home for them, because, you know, essentially that's what it is. And like she talks about having those freedoms, like being able to pick and choose the activities they do and things like that. Can you tell us some other benefits for the adults living in the home?
I think the biggest benefit for anyone living independently, and specifically with this population in the group home, is being independent. So you don't have to ask mom and dad to take you to do something, or you don't have to ask mom and dad to help you with your shower. You're really able to be more independent. And that's one of the biggest things that I've noticed, especially with the young man who moved into our group home about 4 years ago now. Wow, that's incredible. So he was very independent living at home with his parents because they work in the field, so they know what's going on. And so they're much aware of not making him completely dependent on them. And the most incredible thing for me is when he moved into the group home with us, they said that he's become even more independent. So things that he used to make them do for him or that he wouldn't do on his own, he does them now. And I think that that's just one small example, but it's really an extraordinary thing that individuals are able to, whether it's cleaning up after themselves from a meal or being able to take a bus to the mall. Those kinds of things are more available in the group home setting where you're fostering that independence, where living at home, your parents or your guardians might be a little bit more hesitant to let you do those things just because that's a parent's nature.
Right, right. You know, that definitely makes sense. So, you know, coming from a social worker's point of view, what advice would you give to parents of children with developmental disabilities, whether they are living in a group home or not?
Well, I think that my biggest piece of advice and my biggest plea to families is to consider group homes. A lot of families are hesitant because they feel like they might be passing their child off, or that group home living might not be as safe or as warm and loving as living with family. But allowing your child to have that independence by living in a group home is really a remarkable thing. And I think that I don't think I've ever heard of a family saying, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. Because when you let your child live on their own and you let them foster that independence that they can get living in a group home, it's really a remarkable thing to see the changes and the improvements that they can make and the improvements that their relationship can have as well. And I think that are hesitant to do that, but once you start considering it, the option is really an incredible thing for both the parent and the child, to allow the parents to go back to living their lives in some sense, but also allowing the child to start to have their own life as well.
Absolutely. I'm sorry for the interruptions that we keep getting. I don't know if you can hear those also, but unfortunately, we are running out of time. So if you just wanted to quickly maybe provide us with some resources for parents who might be considering group homes for their children or their adult children.
Absolutely. There are agencies throughout the area that provide group home living, from the Wildwood Program, the Center for Disability Services, the ARC programs, as well as many others throughout the area. Visiting OPWDD's website, which is the Office for People with Developmental Disabilities, they can provide you all those resources that you're looking for and really give you some guidance on where to start looking and what things to consider when considering group home living.
Awesome. Rachel, thank you so much for being with us today and providing us with all the information that you've given us. Like Rachel said, check out those resources if you're a parent of a child with a disability. Thank you very much, Rachel. Have a good night.
Thanks, Mackenzie. Bye.